eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. This is Faraz Siddiqui. I'm here with Joe Volpe. Joe, thanks for joining for part two of the week two matchup preview.
Yes, sir. Let's do this. Part two. You did part one and was not there, but it's okay because we got part two.
Part one was fire. It was fire.
It was fire?
Okay. It was fire. So let's get it started, guys. We're going to – it's not like any crazy news or anything like that to report. So let's just get right into the games. We're going to start with the 49ers at the Eagles. 50-point total here. You know what I realized? One thing I realized is that all of like the early games like are kind of like the boring games. Right. And like as you get like towards like the evening games, you know, and the night games, like they get a lot more exciting. So I just all the games from like part one yesterday, the point totals were like 44, 45. And then like as you get like later on, the point totals increase.
Dude, once that 4 o'clock hits, it's like 50, 55, 52, yeah. 54. Like the point totals are nuts. Once you hit so exactly. DFS, those late games are going to be going to be some winners.
100%. So 49ers at Eagles, 50-point total here. The biggest waiver wire pickup of the week, Elijah Mitchell. He becomes an interesting start-sit decision now. If you picked him up because you really needed an RB2, you know, you start him, right? If you have other options and you just picked him up for depth and maybe not just not to miss out on a potential fantasy stud, maybe you wait a week, right? The Eagles gave up almost 5 yards per carry to the Falcons last week. So imagine what the 49ers can do. Right. I'm obviously not starting Trey Sermon. I think that's a more obvious decision. He's likely going to be active for this game. And we, you know, if I could kind of wait and see how Shanahan handles it just for this entire backfield, that's what I would prefer.
Yeah. I'm not touching Elijah Mitchell unless I have to, right? Like, unless you just Raheem Mostert was running back too, and now you have to use Elijah Mitchell. Sure. Right. Like, I guess he's better than whoever you have on your bench. But at the same time, like, if I can avoid starting him, I am. I have zero trust in Kyle Shanahan. Yes, I understand the Eagles have a bad run defense from what we saw last week and how efficient Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson were, especially early on. But this is not the Detroit Lions, right? This is not a team that's going to bend over and take it. So I just don't have a ton of confidence in Elijah Mitchell. He didn't really get involved in the passing game at all. He didn't have a single target, so you're going to have to rely on what he does on the ground. And with Trey Sermon being there, maybe he's the goal line guy. And then Jamichael Hasty, maybe he gets a big run. So I just, if you can avoid starting Elijah Mitchell, I would. If not, then okay.
Yeah, exactly. Deebo Samuel's usage last week was amazing. 52% target share. You know, I mean, come on. Like his ADOT, by the way, was much higher than most people anticipated at 8.3. And he got 60% of air yards. So that's like wide receiver one type of usage right there. Now, the matchup isn't ideal, right? Like Darius Slay, Steven Nelson, you got to knock Deebo down a bit. You know, I probably have him ranked as like a high-end wide receiver three this week. I don't think that Trent Sherfield, you know, I don't think that, I'm sorry, Brandon Ayuk is going to have another big role where like he's going to take a bunch of targets away. I don't think he's there yet. And I'm definitely not starting Brandon Ayuk. Like, we have to wait until he has a more full-time role this week, you know, after rotating with Trent Sherfield last week. So for now, I'm keeping Ayuk on my bench, even buying low right now. I don't think it's going to take much, to be honest with you. Ayuk is a baller, right? And if he's not going to do it for the 49ers, he'll do it for another team. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Wink, do you wink. Have something from your inside sources there?
Maybe. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wink, got some ins with some 49ers people. Look, I mean, the way Debo was used is very encouraging. I always usually think of him as like this. I know they have scat back, so kind of think of him as like this scat wide receiver, to where like they'll use him in jet sweeps. They'll use him in just like short outs. Like, they're not going to use him downfield. And he was being used as a true alpha on this offense. So I think that's a huge tell going into this game. He had a huge target share, as you mentioned. And this is a game where I think it's going to be a little closer, right? With the against the Lions, they got up early and they kind of ran it out with Elijah Mitchell. And that was a game. So I think this is a game where Debo is going to get involved. He's going to be playable. I'm calling him a mid to high wide receiver two this week. I'm not too scared of the matchups here.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Now, obviously, you're starting Kittle. His usage was a bit off last week in terms of routes run, but hopefully it gets corrected this week. You know, maybe it was because of the, you know, the fact that they started running the ball a lot.
Just a weird game.
Yeah, it was a weird game. The Eagles did give up 8 catches to the tight end position last week against the Falcons. So, you know, not that you needed that information to start Kittle, but yeah, you're starting Kittle. On the Eagles side, so by the way, I mentioned this on my Instagram stories. I officially have a problem because of the, and you've probably noticed this joke, because me and you have had a ton of conversations. Story. No, yep. But you probably noticed this in general, right? Like, because me and you have done so many podcasts together, and I've made this mistake so many times where, like, you know, because of all the movement between the Colts and the Eagles, I've been getting these two teams confused and talking about players on the Colts like they're on the Eagles and players who are on the Eagles that they're on the Colts, Carson Wentz especially. I talked about DeVonta Smith on last night's podcast, by the way, like he was on the Colts. and like he was going up against the Rams. Like, so I was like, yo, it's a tough matchup against Jalen Ramsey. Man. You know, well, it's not as tough of a matchup against the 49ers, honestly. Like, if you took DeVonta Smith out of your lineup after listening to yesterday's episode or today's episode, I apologize. So you can put him back in your lineup now. Jason Verrett is out for the year with an ACL tear, and yep. Their secondary gave up the 12th most points to perimeter wide receivers last week. So basically it's a neutral matchup. It's not a matchup you need to avoid, especially when the point total is at 50. So DeVonta's usage, by the way, was amazing, as I mentioned yesterday when talking about the Colts. So he will be in my lineup this week as a solid wide receiver 3.
Yep. Yeah, I feel low wide receiver 2. He's got upside to be a weekly wide receiver 2. I mean, if that usage continues. And I think the biggest question mark for people was, is Jalen Hurts going to be good enough to make him and other guys useful? And he was. And he looked great. It was not even from just he produced, sure, but maybe he just, you know, he has some lucky throws, whatever. Like, he looked like a great quarterback. He was fluid with his motions. He was moving the ball down the field. Like, he did everything he needed to do in that game and more. So I'm confident in Jalen Hurts. I'm fine starting him this week. You mentioned DeVonta Smith. I think this really helps DeVonta Smith going forward. I have gotten some questions about Jalen Reagor, right? Because last week, Jalen Reagor had some involvement. He caught a touchdown. My thought on that is, like, look, he can be productive. And I think Hurts can support Reagor and him down the line, but I still want to err on the side of caution. So if I can avoid starting Reagor, I'm gonna keep him on my bench. But if he's available, pick him up, keep him on your bench, see what he does.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm not starting Reagor. He had a 1.2 yard average depth of target, which means that, like, he's basically being used like right around the line, like kind of like how we thought Debo was going to be used, right? Sure. But it was the opposite. So, you know, despite his target share being okay, like the depth of target, like, kind of scares me away. Like, I guess, like, he's a PPR flex option at best. And I just want to mention Quez Watkins, by the way. He's the guy in the slot. Like, unfortunately for him, though, the Eagles are running two tight end sets a ton. So he's not going to get on the field a ton. So Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, each ran more routes than he did. And in terms of, like, these tight ends, like, you know, Goddard, you know, can be like a low end tight end one. But, like, Zach Ertz, I'm not touching right now. Let's move on to Miles.
Injury.
Who is dealing with injury?
Ertz, he got injured during last week's game, and I think he's been practicing limited during this week. So
okay, great to know. So by the way, I kind of feel like I got to talk about the Colts wide receivers since I failed to do so yesterday, and I just talked about him. Basically, it's a tough matchup for the Colts wide receivers against the Rams. So no one stands out to me there for me to start them. There you go. Miles Sanders,
not even worth it.
Miles Sanders usage was just fine. And he got targets too. 15 carries, 5 targets last week. That's pretty awesome, right? 66% of snaps. So keep starting him. I'd say he's a solid RB2 right now. Closer to the high end, like of that range for now. The 49ers gave up 16 receptions to running backs last week. Was in the middle of the pack. Obviously, that was with the DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, obviously. But, you know, they were in the middle of the pack in terms of rushing yards given up too. So, and that was with the 49ers, by the way, you know, with that solid lead. So I'm fine starting Sanders this week, especially since, you know, he has that big playability and can break one off at any point, you know, even though the matchup on paper might not seem as great.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, let's move on to the Raiders and Steelers, 47.5 point total. Dude, since when did Josh Jacobs have a toe injury? Like, was that was new news?
Did you see the injury report yesterday?
And today too, like he has a ankle report, and
the injury report said Josh Jacobs parentheses everything. I'm not even kidding. It said Josh Jacobs parentheses everything. I mean, if you watch that Monday night game, he came out like 3 or 4 times, like holding different body parts. Like, this dude got beat up. So I if they give him a week off, I wouldn't be surprised.
And apparently he had a turf toe injury coming into the game. Yeah. Like, we had no idea. And this was something like they just casually mentioned it on the broadcast on Monday night. Like, everyone knew what was up. Yeah. Right. Like, so he's playing through pain right now. I'm holding on to Kenyon Drake super tight if I have him in any league. If Jacobs were to miss time, I feel like Drake would go bonkers, honestly. Drake had 5 catches on 5 targets for 59 yards. If you can at some point add 10 to 15 carries to that per week, if Jacobs were to miss time, that'd be huge value. But anyway, Jacobs is playing this week, I think. Like, he didn't practice today on Thursday. This podcast is going to come out on Friday, so, you know, kind of just monitor that. This is a short week for them, so it is possible that they're just resting him because the game was just 3 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, he did finish last week's game, and he did outsnap Drake, even though he kept on coming off the field. He did outsnap Drake 45-41. Drake did add a bunch of those snaps, like on 2-minute drill snaps and stuff like that. So if the Raiders are leading in games, I'd expect the snap share to heavily favor Jacobs. But this week against the Steelers, you know, tough matchup, but it's a similar thing, right? No matter what, like Jacobs is simply like a touchdown dependent RB2, right? He got you your touchdowns last week, and it could change any week. So he has a very low floor. I don't know if the volume is even going to be there a lot of the weeks. So it's a little bit tough to say. Like, you know, if you have Jacobs, you're probably playing him unless you have like a really good RB2 as your second option.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel. The trend last year with Jacobs was either the Raiders won and he did good, or it was just an easy matchup. Like, if it was against, like, the Lions or the Texans or something like that, those are the games he would do good. If it wasn't one of those games, he gets under 10 points, and that's just kind of how it is. And going into last week, I mean, you're thinking, like, okay, the Ravens, they're probably not going to win that matchup, so I don't want to start Jacobs. They come up on top, they end up winning. Jacobs has this game. This is a week I really don't think the Raiders are going to win, but who knows? They could surprise. I would lean away from Jacobs if possible.
Drake has the higher floor, I think, in PPR leagues, but he just doesn't have the touchdown upside, right? Exactly. At this point. So, you know, Darren Waller is obviously in lineups regardless of matchup. He's their entire offense. Dude, Derek Carr doesn't care. Like, he will continue to shell out inaccurate targets to Darren Waller all game long. I had to throw my little Derek Carr thing in there.
He even missed Darren Waller on a wide open pass. I don't know if you remember seeing that from the Monday night game. Darren Waller was wide open, and he could have had another touchdown. And the one play he didn't go to him is when he should have. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I don't know why he missed him there. He was wide open. That would have been another touchdown. It would have been like a 50-yard touchdown. Anyway, so moving on to the other side of the ball, Najee Harris didn't perform last week, but he was on the field for 100% of snaps. That's some Christian McCaffrey shit right there. So he's in your lineup as an RB1. I get it. Like, offensive line didn't look good at all, but listen, week one, he was in for every snap. Put him in your lineup, period. Like, he'll start to get a bunch of dump offs as well. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have an arm. It's going to happen. So just start Najee. Deontay Johnson is in. Why does every Deontay Johnson injury look like the end of the world? Like, I don't know if you saw him, like, while he was down, he was like wincing in pain, you know? And then, like, yeah, you didn't see him get hurt. Like, he was hurt. Like, it was like in the first quarter. So, like, he gets hurt, he's in pain, it looks like his season's over, and then he comes back, right? Obviously, like, after, like, I think it was in the second half or maybe even middle of the second quarter or something like that. but you know, he's a high end wide receiver too, with wide receiver one upside because of his ridiculous usage. He still had a 32% target share while missing some of this game, right? And then he led the team in being targeted. Like, he had almost the same rate on a per route basis, which is nuts. So, like, I don't get it. Like, he led the team in air yards as well. So, like, he is the guy. Okay. Juju had a 23% target share with a higher average depth of target than Deontay. Eight targets is a good number, right? So, like, I would probably rank him as like a PPR wide receiver 3 this week. As far as Claypool, you know, he's running a full complement of routes, but he needs more targets. 16% target share isn't going to cut it. Obviously, his average depth of target is going to be higher than both of these guys, and it was on Sunday. I would call him like an upside flex option until he starts getting some more targets. I'm not streaming either of these quarterbacks, but their weapons, you know, are good. So, like, what do you think about the Steelers wide receivers? Is that about right? Are you starting Deontay over Juju?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. I meant Claypool. I'm sorry. Are you starting Claypool over Juju?
Look, I mean, I had mentioned before the year started that I felt Juju was kind of going to be the odd man out here. This is – he got like 9 touchdowns last year. I just don't see that happening again this year. Claypool's role is going to increase as the year goes on. Look, it's like Deontay's the clear one. And then this is a more balanced offense. And you have Claypool and you have Juju kind of fighting for that number 2 spot. And, you know, every single pass going to Claypool is going to be more valuable than every single pass going to Juju because, as you mentioned, the average depth of target and whatever. So, I mean, in that situation, I'm going to start Claypool over Juju just about every single week. It's just going to boil down to, okay, are they both flex worthy, or is this a week where I don't trust either of them? So this is a week where I can see them both being flex worthy. But if I have the 2 of them, I'm leaning Claypool.
Okay. All right. Moving on to Vikings at Cardinals. This is a game I'm looking forward to. I have a feeling I'm going to be looking forward to every Arizona game, honestly.
Vikings, everything, dude.
Vikings too, honestly. So Dalvin Cook, obviously in your lineup. This is a 51-point total, by the way. Justin Jefferson in your lineup. Adam Thielen in your lineup as a wide receiver too. The Vikings went 11 personnel to start the year. Probably, and by the way, that's a 3 wide receiver set. And that's not something they were doing the last 2 years. Probably because of their lack of tight ends, right? Irv Smith out for the season. So KJ Osborne, you might have never heard of this guy, but he was able to benefit with them down last week. He's their slot wide receiver. So this might not happen every week, but he's someone that you should consider if you're in like a 14 team or deeper league. He ran almost the same number of routes as Jefferson and Thielen, had a similar target share even. Not sustainable, like I said, on an every week basis, you know, between Jefferson, Thielen, Cook already getting their target share. But, you know, just someone to keep an eye on. Kirk Cousins, definitely a streamer this week, right? Especially if the Vikings defense play like it did last week. They didn't look great, dude. Right? Nope. Like the Bengals went up
on them early. Joe Mixon made him look bad.
Yeah. I sent you up for that one. Here you go. Lay up. Now, on the Cardinals side of the ball, Chase Edmonds led this backfield with 58% of snaps, ran a route on almost 80% of Kyler Murray's dropbacks, which is legit. He had 12 carries on top of that, so averaged more than 5 yards per carry on those carries, caught all 4 of his targets. So I think, like we were saying before the season, I think solid PPR RB2, right? And these numbers support that. He has upside as well, right? Connor did get more rushing attempts, but didn't get that many routes. So he didn't get targeted either. So he did get the short yardage stuff. Like, so I would think that we didn't see any goal line attempts for either guy in this game, but I assume that work will go to Connor as long as he's healthy.
And that's kind of, you know, what we expect from this backfield. Like, Edmonds is going to be a consistent part of that passing game. It's going to be a lot of wide receivers. Connor will get some of the early down stuff, but it's not going to be enough for him to be valuable on a week-to-week basis. So
that's, yeah, Connor isn't someone I want to play. But if you're, like, desperate in a deeper league, you know, he's flex-worthy. Because is it a good offense? He could see a goal line carry or two. Now, as far as the matchup, the Vikings gave up the most rushing yards last week overall. But that's also because the Bengals went up and ran the shit out of the ball against their matchup.
Hell, you know, yeah.
Like, the matchup is fine. And by the way, who ran the ball, you know, against the Vikings? Who was it? You remember?
I can't remember his name.
Me either.
He currently leads the league in rushing yards, and he's second, the RB2 right now. I don't know. It'll come to me. It'll.
All right. Well, you're obviously starting DeAndre Hopkins, even though he'll see a lot of Patrick Peterson on that left side. You're obviously starting Kyler Murray. That is, yeah. You're obviously starting Kyler Murray. Dude, he looked so good last week. Like he it was like easy for him running the ball.
It looked like he did before being injured last year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Now listen, Christian Kirk, a lot more appealing to me. And we talked about this multiple times this offseason. Who's gonna be their primary slot receiver? Right? And it turns out it's gonna be Christian Kirk. He thrived in that role. 95% of routes from the slot on Sunday. He moved from the outside last year to inside this year. That's his natural position. That's what he played in college. That's where all his production was. And now he's in a high-powered offense, potentially as the number two target for Kyler Murray at the end of the day. Kirk could have been even more – he could have even had more production last week if the Cardinals didn't completely shut their offense down in the second half last week, right? So after they decided the game was over, they went to 12 personnel, which means two tight ends, two wide receivers, right? So, like, Kirk plays a slot, so he's not going to be on the field as much. So
the Cardinals even have two tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, exactly, right? But that's what they did because they just said, like, okay, we're going to run the ball. Like, you know, we're not going to – if we're going to be up, why show our offense, right? Like, that's basically what they did. So, you know, in more competitive games, like in the first half, by the way, they ran, like, almost exclusively three wide receiver and four wide receiver. So 11 personnel and 10 personnel. Second half, when they were up, they shut that. They just scratched that. So in more competitive games, like this one, potentially against the Vikings, I expect Kirk to be the guy behind Hopkins. And he could have seen even more. And he had two touchdowns last week, right? Five of five targets. So I'm ranking Kirk as a wide receiver three with upside this week, and I can see that growing a little bit if this kind of usage continues. So the matchup isn't necessarily ideal for Kirk this week, though, like mostly because the Vikings, dating back to last year with Mackenzie Alexander in the nickel, not the best matchup for slot corners. Might be one of the worst, actually. But in this offense, like, I'm okay taking the shot. Now, especially because the Cardinals like to go 10 personnel, four wide receivers a lot. So Alexander kind of has to pick his poison between Kirk and Rondale Moore. So there's my Christian Kirk rant. And if he's available in leagues, he is available in like 40 to 50% of leagues. So I understand that, you know, he might seem inconsistency, but like this is a different role for him.
Just checked ESPN. He's currently available in 78% of leagues.
He's available in 78%?
Mm-hmm. He's got a 22% roster.
How does that happen, dude? Like, he scored two touchdowns last week. Just that alone. You know, do people just remember the inconsistencies from last year?
Because he's not a running back. He's not Elijah Mitchell. That's why.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. I mean, listen, he got to get picked up, man. So, like Rondale Moore comes in here and there, and last week he got targeted at a very high rate per route. So he's actually a decent upside flex option if you're looking for upside. Just don't expect consistency. But if you're going to start him, this is the type of match that you want to start him in, honestly. AJ Green ran a ton of routes as the other outside wide receiver opposite Hopkins, but he's just not producing. Like, it looks super familiar to last season, right? I'm not starting him, especially since he'll see a lot of Breshad Breeland on the right side. Terrible matchup.
He's playing the AJ Green role.
Exactly, dude. AJ Green. I love it. It's just bad. But this the game, though, like, honestly, has a lot of firepower to it. Yeah. You know? Okay, let's move on to the Falcons and Buccaneers. Buccaneers are favored by 13 points in this game. 52-point total. This is just an overall tough matchup for the Falcons in general. So, you know, I expect a lot of volume from Matt Ryan. Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts should get a bunch of targets in this one. Kyle Pitts, by the way, like, he didn't have the production last week, but he ran a route on 80% of Matt Ryan's dropbacks, and that's high-end usage. So if you drafted Pitts, like, this is exactly what you were hoping for. He has top five potential with this type of usage. 22% target share as well. So just keep starting him. I know it wasn't a great week one, but just keep starting him.
Absolutely.
I'm not worried about Ridley. Keep starting him, obviously. You know, his usage is awesome. 25% target share, more than half the team's air yards. His big games are coming. I'm not worried about him either. Mike Davis, 75% snap share last week. The usage is pretty good. He's also running a ton of routes. He had a 19% target share for a running back. That's like super legit. He's also getting like 2 minute snaps. He's the main short yardage back too. So he's basically doing everything for this offense.
That, but he looked good too. And I think that was the biggest concern. It was like, he's overblown as a back. He just kind of got volume, but he looked great, especially early in that game. He was making big runs. He was breaking tackles. So Mike Davis is legit. It's not a great matchup, as you mentioned. I mean, we saw what they did to Zeke last week, but I don't know. I think if I need to, I'll start him as like a low end running back too.
That's exactly where I have him. Low end RB too. And you know, if even if he doesn't do much this week in terms of production, like he has a productive season ahead. You know, if his usage stays the same, it might be a good week to buy low if he shits the bed this week.
After this week, yep.
On the Bucs side, Brady's a start. Basically every wide receiver is a start. You know, another great matchup for the Bucs wide receivers. I can see Mike Evans bouncing back in this one in a big way. Brady knows, like, he didn't have a great stat sheet. Like, Brady's the type of guy, you know, like, who gives his guys what they want, right? And Moreau gave up almost like a full fantasy point per route run against him last week. And that's where Evans lines up. So I would call him like a solid wide receiver too, with a lot of upside this week. Godwin also a solid wide receiver too. AB borderline wide receiver too. Like all these guys are just wide receiver. I'm probably going to have all these guys ranked between 13, I would say between like 16 and 24. I'm going to have 3 Bucs wide receivers there.
This is the situation I'm in, and I've gotten a couple questions about it. If you have Mike Evans and Antonio Brown, who are you starting?
So in a large sample size, I want to start Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Right? This week, I might start Mike Evans just for that ceiling because of his matchup. But AB, like, I think he's more dependable, I would say. He's more of a lock to be consistent this year, I would say. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I do think that this week Evans has the upside in terms of, like, because of his matchup on that left side, and that's where Moreau lines up, and that's where Evans lines up most of the time. That's where he runs most of his routes from. I that's part of the reason why I'm going in that direction. But like, if I'm looking at it from a start sit perspective overall, who would I rather start? It's AB, which is crazy, right? Like, it's unbelievable. AB like literally vaulted himself to all, like, nearly where he was back in the day. I'm avoiding the Bucs backfield. The chances like of a score close to zero, whether it's Rojo or Fournette, is too high, right? Like, the chances of that is too high. I know Fournette was the guy last week, but we've seen multiple times where Rojo comes back into the lineup, like, or even starts the game after he was in the doghouse. Like, he fumbled last week and that was it for him, but he can easily come back this week and be the guy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly. He's going to be the starter this week. So if one of these guys have a big game, I'm okay missing out, because I'm probably going to make the wrong decision.
Yep.
Okay, Rob Gronkowski, man. Like, he actually had some really nice usage. Like, he caught the 2 touchdowns, sure, but this is actually not a committee anymore. At least it wasn't in week one. Like, the dude ran a route on more than 70% of Brady's routes. Cameron Brate was next up at, like, 30%. OJ Howard hardly played. So he is a tight end one right now. And obviously, you know, he has the upside of scoring any given week as one of Brady's favorite end zone targets. So it's crazy. Brady and Gronk, man, it's back.
And last year was the year where, you know, Gronk had his first year back. He wasn't 100% back into football shape. He's got another offseason. He's got all the pliability he needs. I mean, he's going to come in and be at least a low end tight end one for the whole year.
Hey, man, he's on that TB12. You know,
a TB12 diet, avocado ice cream,
avocado ice cream, baby. Titans at Seahawks.
That sounds disgusting.
What, Titans and Seahawks or avocado ice cream?
A little bit of both, but you know. mostly the avocado.
Dude, like, Titans and Seahawks, I'm really hoping that the Titans can get their shit together this week.
Me too. On offense. As someone who has Ryan Tannehill in a 2QB league, yeah, I'm hoping they get their shit together too. And I have Antonio Brown, not Antonio Brown, AJ Brown. But last week was embarrassing. He got sacked 5 times. Taylor Lewan made a statement. He's like, dude, I fucking sucked last game. Like,
yeah.
He just let up a ton of so they're going to have to do some reworking on that offensive line and get these guys into shape. And that's going to play a big part. As far as I know, Carlos Dunlap is going to miss some time. And he's one of their best pass rushers. They don't have KJ Wright anymore. It's really just Bobby Wagner and whoever else they have on that defensive line who I don't even know. So I think this is going to be a better game for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was part of the reason why their play action rate was so low And on top of that, they went down by a ton as well. So their play action rate, you know, that was one of the reasons why they were so efficient last year, and why they had so much success in the passing game, is because of that play action. They were like at the top of the league. And like in this game, they were like near the bottom in terms of play action. So, you know, Tannehill, you know, I am starting him this week, 54 point total. He's in there, right? I'm starting AJ Brown as a wide receiver one. I'm starting Julio as a wide receiver two. You know, good matchup against the Seahawks.
Derrick Henry, 4 targets, by the way.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Encouraging.
It is encouraging. You know, like he is a little game script dependent, right? Like he didn't play all the snaps, but you know, it just so happened the Titans didn't have to worry about that last year, right? But I think in week one, he had to worry about it. And, you know, their defense does suck. So, like, he might have more games like this, to be honest with you. He's not going to get the 378 carries that he had last year. That's for sure.
Yeah. I just hate how much they use Jeremy McNichols. I mean,
yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's game script dependent. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, he had 4 targets and he had 3 catches on top of his 17 carries. But how often is that going to happen? No. The hope is that with the OC change, you know, listen, if Derrick Henry can get 4 targets a game, that's a lot. That's a lot. And that that would increase his floor by a ton. Yeah, that basically means that he's going to have a ton of targets per game.
And the floor in this game was 10 points. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? Who knew? So Derrick Henry, you're starting him, right? Like, you're starting him. Yeah. Russell Wilson looked amazing last week. This offense is rolling. Tyler Lockett looked amazing. DK Metcalf was fine. And in this matchup, you know, is a tremendous start. Like, you're starting these guys as wide receiver ones. Like, Tyler Lockett, I'm probably ranking him as a wide receiver one this week. Like, I think he'll be in my top 12. And remember, like, okay, so the hope is that the Seahawks, like, pick up the pace a little bit. Like, I just noticed that their pace of play was, like, kind of slow. It's possible that it was because they were up, like, pretty much the entire game. But I'm hoping that comes up a little bit. Because if it doesn't, that's going to mean that they are we're going to have to depend on efficiency a little bit. That's, like, not what we want, again, with this offense. Yeah. Gerald Everett, Will Dissly sharing that tight end one role. So if one of these guys goes away, the other will have tight end one value. But for now, neither of them do. So this is a DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Chris Carson offense.
And I think Everett does have some upside as, like, the best red zone target. And we saw that last week as he caught a touchdown there. So if you have an offense where Russell Wilson is throwing 3 or 4 touchdowns a game, he always has a chance to catch one of them. So I think Gerald Everett, still on a week-to-week basis, has that tight end one upside. But the floor is almost non-existent.
Yeah. Carson, by the way, like, he was on the field for 78% of snaps. He's a low end RB1 with that snap count on this offense. So and 19 Penny total. Penny's now. Exactly. It's a big surprise there. 19 total touches last week, 16 pretty efficient carries, well over 5 yards per carry, 3 catches. So, you know, solid usage, pretty much what we're used to from Chris Carson. Moving on to the Cowboys and Chargers, 55 point total. Start everybody. You're starting everyone you possibly can, especially on the Cowboys offense, even on the Chargers offense, honestly. Like, yeah. Dak, high-end quarterback one. Justin Herbert lineup lock, right, this week against that Cowboys defense. Now, this isn't necessarily like a cakewalk matchup for, like, the Cowboys wide receivers.
Sure.
Chris Harris, Derwin James, they're both getting their shot at nickel corner, so they're going to see a lot of CeeDee Lamb. But outside of that, like, going up against Michael Davis on one side on the perimeter, rookie J.C. Horn on the other side, like, these guys
will be fine. J.C. Horn plays for the Panthers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's the other rookie cornerback on the Chargers?
Not sure.
Well, guess what? I'm going to pull it up right now.
Pulling it up,
guys. I'm pulling it up.
See, good thing I'm here. I could have stopped that.
Asante Samuel Jr. Yes, yeah. That's right. My bad.
I could have stopped this Colts Eagles nonsense last.
You could have stopped it dead in its tracks, bro. That's what happens when you're not here. That's why I need you, man. I need you. So Gallup is out, right? So as long as he's out, like, CeeDee Lamb is, like, going to have, like, wide receiver one usage, right? He's going to be on the field for 100% of snaps. So talking about Cedric Wilson, like, you know, he's a long shot if you want to play him in the place of Michael Gallup, but, like, this is an offense that's going to pass the ball a ton.
I'm pretty sure this game has like a 55 point total. This is a game where if Michael Gallup was healthy, we'd be like, okay, guys, Michael Gallup, great flex play this week. He's going to play mostly in the perimeter. Like, this is a good shot to start him. That's kind of how I feel about Cedric Wilson. Like, he's not the same talent level, but at the same time, like, the opportunity is going to be there. Dak's going to throw like close to 60 times this game. And if he can get 6 or 7 of those targets, maybe, I mean, he's going to see optimal coverage. It's a desperate play, right? I'm going to have to check his price on DFS and stuff like that and see if he's even worth it. But if you're in a really tight spot, Cedric Wilson, you know, 14 plus team leagues, might be worth a look.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay. So Zeke, he's going to be back in this game. Okay.
Yeah.
Chargers allowed more than 4.5 yards per carry to Washington running backs last week. You are starting him. Don't get too crazy about his game last week. He was playing a very particular role. And he did it very well. He picked up those blocks like a motherfucker. So there we go. Now the content is officially in the explicit column.
Okay. I cursed a couple times already, but
yeah. You did. Oh yeah, and you also talked about somebody bending over as well. So yeah, you're right. So if you're starting either of the Cowboys tight ends, Dalton Schultz would be my option. But I don't really want to have to pick one. The usage was pretty similar last week, but either of these guys could potentially like do their thing. Honestly.
Yep.
Keenan Allen, lock in your lineup. Michael Williams, he gets an upgrade in this matchup, along with the fact that he saw 10 plus targets in week 1. He's also not just running deep like he was last season, so intermediate routes as well. So I think the higher usage like is not just a 1 week thing, like it could continue.
Yeah,
that's the hope. Austin Eckler, like maybe some of these targets came from him because he didn't receive one target last week. That has to change given his skill set, given his coach, like his coach knows how to target running backs. Herbert said that his offensive line was doing a good job giving him time last week. So I don't know
why. Rashawn Slater had some highlight reels. I mean, last game. Never see offensive lineman highlight reels, but he had some highlights.
He had some, yeah. And by the way, Eckler looked great on the ground. Like, you know, last week against a tough Washington front, he was 16 yards after contact per attempt, you know, among running backs with at least 15 carries. He also got 100% of the rushing attempts inside the 5-yard line. So if he's getting goal line work now, and if those targets come back, we're looking at some insane fantasy value as long as he can stay healthy. But yeah, he's in my lineup this week as an RB1, hoping that all of it can come together for Austin Eckler. Jared Cook, streaming option at tight end. He was the clear tight end one between him and Donald Parham. He saw an 18% target share as well, so healthy usage there. This could be a shootout, so solid streamer this week, as much as it pains me to say.
He kind of gets the Cedric Wilson, it's a big game, so why not treatment?
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to the Chiefs at Ravens, 48.5 point total.
Sunday night
football. You're starting Patrick Mahomes. Ravens with the second straight primetime game. Yeah, look at that. It just sucks that they had to lose their running backs, right? It could have been a lot more exciting, honestly. But you know, you're starting Patrick Mahomes. You're starting Lamar Jackson. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he saw 72% of snaps last week, so that's good. But he isn't the only guy playing the passing down role, unfortunately. Darrell Williams still involved, still coming in at times in those situations, and is actually playing more of those situations than CEH. He's getting pretty much all the rushing work, though, which is great. He's like an RB. He's a solid RB2, right? Not the best matchup, but he's still in most lineups this week. The Raiders, I think so. The Raiders couldn't get much going in this run game against these guys, but the Chiefs obviously have a much better offense that can put him in good situations. Right. Tyreek Hill is in, Travis Kelce's in. Mecole Hardman's time on the field and route participation have gone up a ton, but he just wasn't targeted. And he wasn't targeted downfield at all in week 1 for some reason. He was hardly targeted. He's a bench stash. But you know, he needs to get targeted more. Like if he doesn't start getting targeted in the next couple of weeks, I'm dropping him.
That's because Tyreek Hill had over 40% target share. So you know that'll do it.
Now these running backs on the Ravens side of the ball, like we really don't know what the workload is going to be.
Stay in week 2.
Yeah, I think stay away is the good advice. Like Tyson Williams, you know, was the main back, but then Latavius Murray came in and got some run in the second half.
He owned it.
Yeah, and they just activated Devontae Freeman to the active roster. So, you know, we'll see how these three backs are used. Harbaugh talked about using them all, right, just yesterday or today. So, you know, I'd stay away if I can. If you're going to start anyone, I think I'm going to start Tyson first, like then Latavius, I guess, and not start Freeman. I wouldn't even have Freeman rostered. who would you start? Like, if you had to choose one guy, like who would it be? Latavius or Tyson?
I guess Tyson, just because he has the most upside, right? I mean, we know Latavius Murray. He's not going to, at this point in his age and where he's at in his career, he's not going to break out and run for 40 yards and get away from everybody. If anybody can do that, it's Tyson Williams.
As we saw last week, right? He had that big one.
Exactly. But, you know, the whole thing, too, is that, like, look, this is not a situation I want to buy into at all, because you're going to depend on Tyson Williams making that play every single week. And then Latavius Murray, you're going to depend on him getting volume, which he's not going to get. And then Devontae Freeman's going to come in. And I would bet he would come in for that passing down work, which is going to take away from Tyson Williams at all. So if I have to start someone, it's going to be Tyson. But at the same time, I really don't want to start any of these guys.
Yeah. Mark Andrews' usage is better than it's ever been, by the way. Despite the quiet week one, he ran a route on 95% of Lamar Jackson's dropbacks, and that never happens. Like, this, he's never done that before.
Anywhere close. Josh Oliver had a red zone target, and he did.
Random, dude. Random. I'd buy low, by the way, on Mark Andrews if I can before this week, because he's obviously in your lineup if you have him. But, like, if you need a tight end, like, he's one guy that I would be trying to buy low, heavy. Okay, let's move on to the Monday night game with the Lions and the Packers.
You like Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins after their usage last week?
Yeah, I like Marquise. I'm fine with playing Marquise this week as I would call him a wide receiver three. I'll probably have him ranked in my top 36 wide receivers. Sammy Watkins will be like a flex option, but listen, Sammy Watkins shows up in week one every year. And then he doesn't show up after that.
You know, I saw a tweet about that. In the last 2 years, he's had decent games, but in every other year in his entire career, he has not. So it's a short tradition, I guess. He's in a position where I think he led this team in targets last week. He's going against a familiar foe. I'm okay with Watkins as a flex player. I'm confident enough in him as a flex player.
Nice. Okay. So Monday night, Lions at Packers. Aaron Rodgers probably looked like the worst quarterback last week. Did anybody play worse than Aaron Rodgers? I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I know he's not the worst quarterback, but he played like the worst.
Saints defense outscored by Marcus Mariota.
That's crazy, dude. And Marcus Mariota got hurt on his one touch.
Yep.
Saints defense is good, but that's not why the Packers played like shit. So with that being said, I will start Aaron Rodgers this week. Well, Lions do suck. I'm going to be back in, though. Devonta Adams, he's back in. Aaron Jones, he's back in, despite a bad week one. By the way, Aaron Jones, before they kind of decided that they lost, he played on 75% of snaps before the Packers gave up in the fourth quarter. His role seems to have grown after the departure of Jamal Williams, and this matchup is amazing, so put it back in your lineups. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, somebody I wanted to point out, he had a 19% target share. He was targeted at a relatively higher rate of routes run, and it looks like his routes weren't just deep either, kind of like the Mike Williams thing. So he's someone who can pop off once this team figures itself out, so it could be as soon as this week. If he's still available Sunday night or during Sunday or the middle of the day of Sunday, and you're a bit the bottom of your bench, you realize they're terrible after two terrible weeks, you might want to drop them and then pick up MVS on platforms like Yahoo if he's available, just to kind of have him in case he does pop off Monday night, in case his usage is better and then he pops off with that usage. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not playing him, but listen, if you need an upside flex play, if you're down on Monday night, right? You're going into Monday night, you're down and he's available, you want to throw him in your flex because you need some upside. Sure. I can understand that. Tanyan's usage in week one, it wasn't amazing. You kind of need to see more than you saw in week one, for me to trust him. But if you drafted him as your tight end one, I get it. It's fine leaving him in your lineup this week. Hope that he turns the ship around. And, they are playing against the Lions, so he can turn the ship around in week two.
Yep.
Now, on the Lions side of the ball, DeAndre Swift is in RB1 right now. He can be a top five running back this year if the usage stays the same. And it does not matter that he's on a bad team. The bad team thing might even be helping him, honestly. 68% of snaps was on a route on 65% of dropbacks, which is nuts for a running back. That's on Alvin Kamara, Austin Eckler type of level. And then on top of that, he's getting 20% of targets, getting all the passing down work as well.
There's no wide receiver worth even mentioning on this team, which is the part of T.J. Hockenson. And
It's him, Hockenson, and then Jamal Williams to round it out.
Yep.
Right? Like, you're starting Hockenson, like, benefiting in a big way, 20% target share, ran a route on more dropbacks than any other receiver on the Lions. So that tells you what you need to know right there. Jamal Williams ended up getting goal line work in this one. That can change easily. But still, Jamal. Yes, he is flex worthy. Going against his former team, revenge game. Ooh. Now, I saw something that, did he practice today? He might have missed practice today. I could be wrong about that, but just check on that.
Yeah, got it. I'll look.
Yeah, one of those things. So, you know, it's a situation where, like, you're starting Hockenson no matter what. You're starting. Listen, DeAndre Swift is in must start territory at this point. He is a clear RB1 with that usage.
He was limited today due to a chest injury.
Limited. Okay, good. So he wasn't. It was not a DNP.
DeAndre Swift also limited with his groin injury.
Okay, good. That's good. They're resting him. They'll probably get full practices. Well, actually, no. So today they're playing on Monday night. So Thursdays are just like Wednesdays. So the fact that they got it limited on Wednesday, that's a good thing. So
if they weren't playing today, they weren't practicing today, tomorrow would still be a good indicator.
It'll be fine because Saturday, like if you're playing on a Monday night game, Saturday they actually practice. So Saturday is kind of like that last practice of the week. Usually if you're playing on Sunday, the last practice of the week is Friday. And if you don't practice on Friday, you usually don't play. If you don't practice on Saturday for a Monday night game, you usually don't play. That's kind of how it works. So just keep that in mind. If no one practices on a Wednesday, if someone doesn't practice on Wednesday, it's not a big deal. As long as you practice on Thursday and Friday, you're good. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Did I miss anything there? I think that kind of wraps it up.
Yeah, no wide receivers worth mentioning. Jared Goff, if you need a desperate streamer, garbage time, he can make it work. So
there you go. Okay, good, guys. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. This is part two of the Matchup Podcast. We'll be back early next week for waivers. Enjoy this weekend of football. So it feels so good saying that. I'm Upper Hand Fantasy on Instagram. Joe is fantasy.football.analyst on Instagram. Go check us out there if you don't follow us already. If you can rate and review the podcast, that would help us out tremendously. We're just trying to, like, listen. Or, like, if you can text the podcast to your friend or WhatsApp it, you know, put it in a group chat of people who love football.
Go with your grandma.
We would just really, really appreciate the support if you could share it to whoever you can, you know, whether it's on social or whether it's just one-to-one. We would really appreciate it. So thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Take it easy. See ya.
See you.